If you had been there at the cross of Jesus when Christ was dying, where do you think you'd have been standing? I want you to try to envision, here's the Golgotha, here's that place that is the place of the skull, and there is the cross of Jesus. I wonder how close to the cross you would have gotten. I really wonder where you would have stood. Because standing all around the cross, there were individuals, and those individuals who stand together oftentimes have the same mindset. And so I just want to ask you, had you been there, where do you think you would have stood in relationship to the cross of Jesus? But before we do that, let's think a bit about the cross of Jesus and the matter of crucifixion. Do you recognize that the crucifixion of Jesus is the greatest event there's ever happened on this earth? I mean, you stop and think about it. Of all of the things that have transpired, here's the event. Of all of the things. I remember as a child growing up in Huntsville, and there was all of this talk about men going to the moon and being thrilled whenever, in my early teen years, Kennedy said, we're going to go in this generation. And I wondered, will we ever be able to do that? And then to be able to see man walk on the moon. Man, that's an amazing. How would you like to have been there to see that? How would you like to have been there whenever Columbus discovered America? I'm not sure how great and momentous that was in your mind or even in his mind. But can you imagine all that was going to happen and the impact of the Europeans coming to this land? Can you imagine what an important time that was? And you begin talking about all of the important things that's happened on this earth. Let me tell you. There is no point, no place, no time on this earth that equals the time of the crucifixion of Jesus. Here's the amazing thing. There were multitudes of Jews in Jerusalem at that time. Think of how many were there. It was the Passover, one of the three annual Jewish feast days. And Josephus, a Jewish historian, wrote about describing one Passover feast in which in that small city of Jerusalem, there were 2 million Jews who were there. There might have been that many who have just come from all over the world. There were the multitudes that were there, and they saw something, but they did not see them. Something, think about it. They were there when the mob was crying out, crucify him. They were there when they were walking down the streets and seeing him being crucified there. He was on the cross for all of those hours, and they entered into the city, and there is the crucified Savior. And they saw him being crucified. And yet they were absolutely blind. Absolutely blind about what was happening. Now, if you'll recognize, there were various reactions to the crucifixion of Jesus. People responded in different ways, and that's really the design of this lesson, for us to go back and to look at those small groups of individuals and how they were there at the cross. But there were all of the various reactions, and we'll talk about that. And then we'll try to emphasize the fact that human nature does not change. If Jesus were being crucified in this area, while the kind of his death would be different and foreign to us, but people would respond to his death today very much like they responded to his death there in the first century. And so we ask the question, what if you had been there? Well, let's talk about some who witnessed his crucifixion. Now, put the word witness in quotation marks, because I want us to understand that they were not all of those individuals who were eyewitnesses. But they were very much a part of the crucifixion. They were there a part of all of the things that were going on and transpiring at that time and at that place. They were witnesses in the sense that they heard about it. And they were there in that sense. Let's first look at the crucifixion through political eyes. There were those politicians who were there, and think of how politicians look at the world so different from the man on the street. But there were those politicians who were there, people like Herod.
Wonder what Herod thought about the crucifixion of Jesus. Jesus, he had seen him just a few hours before. In fact, he was intrigued that he was going to be able to see Jesus. Sort of like he'd been intrigued with John the Baptist, or at least his predecessor had been intrigued by John the Baptist. And there's Herod. How did he feel about the resurrection or the crucifixion of Jesus? And there he stood, and as the king over that area and responsible in one sense to the Roman government for the things that were transpiring there, wonder how he looked at it. Wonder where his heart was. Wonder how much emotions there were as you thought about it. Can you not imagine that while he knew about those things that were transpiring, his heart was so fixed on so many other things. He might have been thinking about, well, what about the Roman government? And how am I going to answer about all of these things that are there? And I wonder what my wife is going to, was it Herod's wife or was that Pilate's wife that says, have nothing to do with this man? Wonder if that would have been in his thoughts at that time. I wonder what he thought about, or if he just sort of ignored it and it was just sort of another death like a bunch of other deaths that were common in that land. I just wonder where his heart was. I'll tell you, he was a witness of it. But he didn't see what was going on. Think about Pilate. And to mention Pilate, all you can think about is that Pilate knew he was innocent. And Pilate, you read those accounts in the Bible, Pilate's doing everything he can to get Jesus to be freed. He's doing everything he can except the right thing. And think of that picture where Pilate takes that basin of water and washes his hands and finally says, I'm free from the blood of this man. And when Pilate brings out Barabbas and says, well, here, which do you want? Evidently thinking they'd for sure choose Barabbas. You think Pilate was not a witness to the crucifixion of Jesus? You think Pilate was not aware of that? Do you think the words of Jesus, whenever Pilate said, are you therefore the king of the Jews? And he says, you have said it, and by that he means, and that is exactly who I am. Wonder how he felt about the crucifixion. His emotions had to be involved in it. His spiritual emotions had to be involved in it. And yet look how aloof he was from that ever bringing about a transformation of his life. And then we put there the Roman soldiers. Wonder how they felt about it. Wonder how the man who drove the nails in his hand felt about it. I wonder how the man who scourged Jesus, who was a witness in that sense to the crucifixion of Jesus, I wonder how he felt about it. He was there and he saw the skin and the flesh as it was torn off the back of Jesus. And now here's this man that he's almost killed, and now the man, is he moved by it? Well, possibly, but how did it impact his life? Are there not people today just like that? Do we not live in a land where there are those individuals who look at Christianity and look at it through political eyes? Do you not recognize what's happened in our land in the name of Jesus? That it has become the avenue for individuals to become noteworthy in a community in order that they might become noteworthy in congresses or in the political arena. They know all about the crucifixion of Jesus. Sometimes them even standing up and publicly proclaiming about the crucifixion of Jesus. They know about it. Where's their interest? Looking at the fruit of their lives, not judging their hearts, but looking at the fruit of their life. The Lord says, judge not, lest you be judged. We're not allowed to judge, but the same Lord says, look at the fruit, by their fruit you shall know them. Can you imagine a man looking, wanting to be known, wanting to be a man of renown, and using the very death of Jesus to gain notoriety? Political acknowledgement of the death of Jesus. And so our Congress begins with prayer, acknowledging the Creator, But why on earth? Knowing about something and being moved by it and bringing about a transformation of life are two vastly different things. Think about the religious leaders that were there. Think about Annas and Caiaphas. Think about those individuals who stood in the religious arena. And there they were very much aware of the death of Jesus. In fact, they're the ones who brought it about. They were the ones who stirred up the mob saying, having the mob to say, crucify him, crucify him. Wonder how they felt about the death of Jesus. Wonder whenever they saw him suffering and saw him as he moved in agony. Wonder where their emotions were. Wonder how satisfied they were that they'd been able to blaspheme the name of Jesus. Folks, human nature has not changed. There are people by the very words that they speak blaspheme the holy name of Jesus and all that is sacred. Aware of Christ, aware of his life, but blaspheme everything that he does. And what about that Jewish Sanhedrin, that council of about 70 men who ruled the city of Jerusalem, who before whom Jesus stood in a trial situation? Were they aware of it? Oh, yes. They did everything they could to get him to be put to death, even to the point of getting liars to come and testify and say, this man said he'd tear down this temple and rebuild it. He's an advocate of temple destruction. They were so much aware of the death and of the crucifixion of Jesus. But where's their heart? Where's the transformation of their lives? Religious? Yes. Thinking they're doing that which is right and serving God? Absolutely. But where is their heart in the diligence of serving Jesus? We mentioned before in that other... let's talk also about the chief priest. They were a part of that Sanhedrin. But we mentioned before those Roman soldiers who were there. As I thought about this lesson, I thought about the man who manufactured the cross of Jesus. Here's a man who cut the wood, made the cross. He comes home that day and his wife said, well, what'd you do today? Well, I had a good day today. I got to make 3 crosses today. Look at the money that I've got. Conscious of the crucifixion of Jesus, but their lives were unchanged. You got to understand that. And then I did not know how to describe those individuals responsible for digging the holes in which the cross was placed. But they were aware of it. Somebody told them, make those holes here in the ground. We're going to crucify 3 individuals that are there. You're aware somebody's crucified? Oh, yes, I'm aware of all 3 of the men that are being crucified. How did you feel about it? Well, it doesn't touch my life at all. They walked away, knowledgeable of a crucifixion, but not seeing everything that had transpired there. And then those Roman soldiers that were there at the foot of the cross. You know what they were doing, don't you? You do remember what they're doing at the foot of the cross? They're gambling. They're gambling over his garments. They're casting lots. Well, what kind of day did you have, Roman soldiers? Let me tell you, look at this new garment I've got. I got the one that was seamless, and so I wore the old garment. Look at me. I have really, where'd you get that? Oh, down there at that crucifixion. That man from Nazareth, knowledgeable about the crucifixion of Jesus, but their lives were unchanged by it. We mentioned in passing, lest we do injustice to all of those Roman soldiers, that centurion who was there at the foot of the cross and saw all of the agony of Jesus and everything that transpired, whenever he saw the great earthquake, he said, truly, this was the Son of God. Knowledgeable about the crucifixion. Everything about Simon of Cyrene? Wonder how he felt about it. You know, the Romans said, As the officials, they could compel any individual to do most anything they wanted to. That's why Jesus said,
if a man compels you to go with him 1 mile, go with him two. That was the Roman law. The Roman soldier had this, carried all of his weapons and whatever food supplies or whatever he had in some sort of a satchel or a backpack, carried it with him. And he could ask anybody in the world, from this mile marker to the next mile marker, carry my weapons, carry my backpack. And so the Lord says in the Sermon on the Mount, now if he compels you to go 1 mile, just go a second one with him. Can you imagine the surprise of that Roman soldier when Christianity came into his heart and the Christian was happy carrying it the first mile and was even happy to carry it the second mile? And that word, compelled, is the very word used of Simon. He didn't volunteer to do it. Simon, what kind of day did you have? Well, I'll tell you what I had planned today. Was he aware of the crucifixion? Absolutely. It ruined his day. Why, I had to carry that cross all the way to Golgotha. Can I intrigue you a little bit? In Mark chapter 15, verse 21, Simon of Cyrene, by the way, an African, very likely, or more than likely, a black man, carried the cross of Jesus. And when you read in Mark chapter 15, here's the statement. He has two sons, Alexandria and Rufus. Why on earth would these men be mentioned? Only two possibilities. When Mark writes this, he knows that if he mentions Alexandria and Rufus, that people will know who these people are. It may have been, we know nothing about them. We know nothing about Alexander and Rufus. But it's possible they were political individuals that might have been well known. But have you ever thought about the possibility that these men were mentioned because they were Christians? And when Christians read the book of Mark, they'd immediately know who Brother Alexander was and who Brother Rufus was. The cross. How does it impact the world? And then I love to think about those who were passing by. The Bible says they were wagging their heads. They saw him being crucified and they began to mock him and said, you know, he says he's the Son of God. Folks, you and I need to understand the individual responsibility we had. They were blind followers of their religious leaders, and God expects individuals not to be blind followers but to study the Word themselves. And here were individuals who just went right along with the flow. Here's that peer pressure that everybody has to deal with. Well, that's what everybody else is doing, so I'm going to mock him, the one who is on the cross. And the Bible says they walk by wagging their heads. Can you just see them looking at him and wagging their heads at him? Were they aware of the crucifixion? Absolutely. But did it touch their hearts? What about those three criminals? Were they aware of the crucifixion? You know the bad thief, don't you? You know that bad thief whenever Jesus is being crucified who is mocking the Son of God? Imagine that. The very last thing that he utters is a mockery of that which is sacred. Surely a man who's facing death would think seriously about life. Aware of the crucifixion, but the crucifixion of the Son of God didn't change his life at all. In fact, he was hardened to the very end. Human nature hasn't changed. You've known people like that, have you not? Now there's the other thief who at first was also mocking Jesus. And then he comes to the defense of Jesus and said, this man has done no wrong. He was not only aware of the crucifixion of Jesus, he was aware of the spotless life of Jesus, and he became a recipient of the grace of Jesus. And the last words he ever heard from the lips of, spoken to him from Jesus were the words, today you'll be with me in paradise. That third criminal? I thought there were only two. Oh, yeah, there was another guy, Barabbas. You remember Barabbas? when Pilate, trying to release Jesus, brought out the absolute worst criminal there was, thinking that surely the mob, because there is a custom among the on this feast day for there to be someone released unto you, surely they'd want to keep this murderer, Barabbas, in the jail and they would let Jesus go free. Guess what? Because people were blind followers of the religious leaders, they cried out, "Let Jesus be crucified. Release Barabbas to us." Barabbas, are you aware of the crucifixion of Jesus? Had to be. But there's no evidence at all that it changed his life. What about Peter and those who were fearful? Think first about Judas. And while he is dead, very shortly after, you know, during the crucifixion process, why made the mistake in his life? Instead of faithfully following the Lord, he saw opportunities to do some other things. And we put him in this category while his motivation was primarily money, and he chose money above the crucifixion of Jesus. Here's Peter, and he's fearful. He's there when people say, "Are you a Christian? Surely you're one of his." And he says, "Oh no, not me." And the way he convinced everybody that he was not a Christian was by cursing and swearing. If you want to convince folks in Palm Beach County that you're not a Christian, just start cursing like they do. That'll convince them in a heartbeat. Aware of the crucifixion of Jesus, but so afraid that instead of letting it cause him to be steadfast to the Lord, turned away from him. "Though all men are offended at you," had said, "I'll not be offended." And the Lord said, three times this night it's going to happen. And what happened to the multitudes that had been following him? What happened to those multitudes who in John 6 were ready by force to make him to be king? They're now on the opposite side. The multitude that just 1 week before had preceded Jesus as he entered into the city, laying their garments and taking the branches off of trees and shouting to the multitude, "Hosanna, Lord, save, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord." All of a sudden, that same multitude is crying out, "Crucify him, crucify him, let him be crucified." Were they aware of the crucifixion? Oh yeah. They were responsible for it. And finally, there were the witnesses that we called those who were faithful. I love reading the account in Luke. Luke is more graphic than any. As he describes those who watched his crucifixion in these words, "All his acquaintances and the women who followed him from Galilee stood at a distance, watching these things." Faithful to the very end. Aware of the crucifixion, aware of the danger, aware of the mockery of others. Here are those individuals who are held up by God. Those women. You look at that. That's in Luke chapter 23. Listen to verse 55. "And the women who had come with him from Galilee followed afterwards, and they observed the tomb, how the body was laid." Where are the apostles? How do we know, had the women not been able to tell them, how do we know what they would have known about his burial place except by word of mouth? The women form the link. Listen to this. "The women who had come with him from Galilee followed, and they observed the tomb." Verse 56. "They returned and prepared spices." The next verse. "Very early in the morning, they and certain other women with him came to the tomb." The next verse. "They found the stone rolled away." The next verse. "They went in and did not find the body of Jesus." Two verses later, they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth. And they remembered the words of Jesus, the Son of Man must be delivered in the hands of sinners. And they returned from the tomb and told the apostles. The women are God's absolute eyewitness assurance of the resurrection of Jesus. We've said before, human nature has not changed. Every culture and every nation is found at Golgotha. I believe that you could put in some category every person on this earth and tie it to Golgotha. There the Roman soldiers. There's the man who makes the crosses. There is that individual who has an agenda, political or religious agenda. There are those heartless individuals that stand and see a man suffering, and some rejoice. Most just pass by and ignore. They ignore what's happening at that place. Because every culture can be found there. Let me conclude by asking, had you been there, where would you have stood? Of all of these individuals, you do know about the crucifixion, don't you? In your mind, where would you have been? We've said over and over again in the lesson, they knew about it, but their heart was not touched. Where are you? You know about the crucifixion, do you not? We've shared this memorial feast together, have we not? We're aware of the crucifixion and know far more about it than more than almost every one of these individuals that we've read about. Where do you think you would have been? But could I ask another question? Not where do you think you would have been? Where are you standing right now in relationship to the cross? It's one question to say, if I had been back there, here's what I would have done. The question is, where are we right now in relationship to the cross of Jesus? The tragedy is that like those multitudes who walked by wagging their heads, seeing His suffering and forgetting what's happened, far too many individuals hear the story of the cross and forget about it. Do you remember the movie, The Passion of Christ? Do you remember when you saw it, if you likely saw it? Do you remember the emotions that you had in relationship to it? How can anybody watch that movie? But wait a minute. How many weeks was it number one? That's the amazing question. Not were they stirred momentarily in a theater about the suffering of Christ, but when the next exciting feature came along, forget about the cross. And that which happened in that movie has happened in the lives of almost everyone in America. We know of His crucifixion. But how long has that suffering of the Savior burned in our hearts? You remember His mother was there. Do you think she ever forgot the agony that she felt when she saw her son suffering in that way. She saw it. And it lasted the rest of her life. And those women that we mentioned a moment ago, they saw it. And they remembered it the rest of their lives. Let me beg of you, those who are listening now, to not treat the cross of Jesus like it's some feature of a movie where we're aware of suffering, we hear about it, and we walk away from a lesson and forget about His suffering. But let me urge you to take a stand and be steadfast until the day that you die. Do you believe in the story of the crucifixion of Jesus? Romans 10:10 says, with the heart man believes unto righteousness. You're aware of His death and what's implied by His death. You believe it, do you not? Then will you not, Acts 17:30, hear the commandment of God that says He now commands all men everywhere to repent? Not someday I plan to live right. But where are you right now? And what reason on earth could you give that I'm not going to take a stand for righteousness? And when you confess your faith in Jesus, you can be baptized into Christ. Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, those who had crucified, those who are aware of it, and of the million people that heard that lesson that day on Pentecost, 3,000 of them responded to the command, repent, change. Will you be one of the few among the millions who make a decision to repent and to be baptized for the remission of sins? And when you do it, you become a part of all that God has happening on this earth. You're part of the work of God, the kingdom of God, the church of God. Why wouldn't you want to take that stand today? And then as Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10 says, be faithful. Keep believing this. Be full of faith until the day that you die. And He who was crucified and was raised, who sits at the right hand of God, says, and I will give you not a crown of thorns, but a crown of life. If you haven't taken a stand for Jesus, won't you do so right now? As together we stand and sing. Will you come?